from the Colorado Media School campus in Lakewood, Colorado, the premier radio show on GoMileHigh.com. This is the Press Box.
What's up, everybody? It is 4:01 on October 27th, 2020. And you already know what time it is. It's time for the Press Box on this frigid, frozen tundra of a day here in Lakewood, Colorado. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I'm your host, Ryan Youngstrand, and with me today are two distinguished, dapper, and downright delightful gentlemen, Mr. KJ and Ty. Gentlemen, how are you guys doing today?
Doing pretty good, man. It's great to be back on this Tuesday. It's a crazy weekend in the world of sports and in the world of weather, so just glad to be back in here, and now that these weather conditions are starting to move past us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Mr. Ty, how you doing today?
Doing all right. Can't complain. I might have just been staying in, cozying up.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, like I haven't left my room all weekend.
Right on, man. Yeah, I've been feeling that too. The last couple of days up in Fort Collins, I think we got 11 inches of snow. And so it's a perfect time to sit down and watch some, you know, Halloween, October type movies.
Oh, yeah. It got bad up north.
Oh, yeah. Although,
hopefully it's a little less worse with the fires, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The fires have been bad. You know, we didn't even know what was falling. Was it ash or snow up there? You know, it was kind of a mix of both for a few days. And
yeah.
Hopefully those fires have been distinguished a little bit now with all this precipitation.
Yeah, hopefully they slow down. Hopefully they don't meet.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and that's the thing that's been the most scary is if they meet, they'd be converging right over in Estes Park. And anybody who's ever been to Estes Park knows that that's one of the most beautiful places we have in our country. And you know, it takes a long time for those trees and wildlife to grow back. And so it's just tough to see.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Plus, it's right next to Fort Collins, too.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, and that's where I'm at. I'm on the south side there. But like you guys said, you know, hey, we're trying to make the best of this today. You know, we're trying to have good vibes here for y'all on the Press Box. We just got through an hour of some elite NFL minds talking football for an hour straight on Inside the Huddle with my buddies Squirrel, Roddy, and C-Rod. That was a great time if you get a chance to go back and check them out. But we got some great headlines for you guys today. So, Mr. Ty, could you hit us up with there we go.
There were some things going on in sports today that will make your brain fall out of your skull.
Because I've got nothing here. You're giving me baseball and hockey, and I got my keister blown in the wind.
It's sports.
All around the clock. Sports all the time.
That's the concept of the news.
Oh, that's never going to work. That's ridiculous.
I always love that clip. That is that just gets me right every time. It always gives me good vibes hearing Ron Burgundy talk about whatever it is he wants
classic,
to talk about.
Classic.
Just classic. All right, so Mr. Dylan is joining me today. Dylan, how you doing, man?
Great.
Good. Good to have you on here.
Warm.
Yeah, I don't know what they did. They got all the hot air up in the top floor of where we're recording right now, and down here it's frigid and cold.
I don't know what they did. One day it was just straight like 60 degree weather, the next it's blizzard.
Yep. Yeah, no, this Colorado weather has been bipolar, to say the least.
Oh, it is bipolar. Some of the most bipolar weather I've ever seen.
Yeah, take it from a native.
What was that?
Yeah, take it from a native.
That's you're born and raised here?
Yep.
See, I'm from Minnesota, and in Minnesota I always thought that we had bipolar weather until I moved here.
Yeah, I did too about Tennessee, but yeah, no, Colorado's the worst.
We got some good culture here. We got Tennessee, we got Colorado, Minnesota. KJ, where are you from?
Mississippi.
Oh my goodness, I love this show today.
All over
the US, man. This is beautiful. All right, gentlemen, let's start it off with some of these headlines like Ron Burgundy alluded to just a minute ago. My man KJ, what you got for us?
Yeah, so I'm going to go to Antonio Brown.
Uh-oh.
Antonio Brown, he is finally back in the league. He signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And here's the thing about Antonio Brown's contract is it's a one-year, $2.5 million contract, but the majority of that contract is made up of incentives. The base of the contract is $1.05 million. Wow. The rest of it is going to be built into incentives such as getting to the playoffs, you know, staying healthy through the season, certain number of catches, all of that kind of stuff is built in that way. And so I think Tampa Bay, basically they built those incentives in because they don't believe he can do it. That's truth be told.
Yeah. And you know what?
I mean, getting to the playoffs, that's on Tom Brady more so than it is Antonio Brown. But I think the other stuff, they're like, we want to see, can you do it? And I don't think they can't. I don't think they believe him.
And you know what? That's in my opinion, a fine place to be for a franchise right now, reaching out to Antonio Brown. He has been, you know, he's been a kind of hard product to watch over the last couple of years on what he's done to himself and what he's kind of put out into the world. So, yeah, giving him a prove-it deal, I think that's a smart business call. And yeah, you know, it's on him now to perform. And if he wants that big money again, well, now he has the chance to go out there and prove it. I think that's a really good thing. You think he's going to be a beast again or what?
Probably not, only because I think Tom Brady just has so many weapons to spread the ball around to. Mm-hmm. But I will think he will get more targets than what people think, only because you have 3 to 4 decent, solid receivers / tight ends, not to mention 2 very good running backs. Mm-hmm. And yet you still need Antonio Brown. There's something missing. And I think Tom Brady's going to go towards Antonio Brown a little bit more than what people think, because he needs a pure route runner who can get in all of the routes, mm-hmm. basically on any part of the field. And no disrespect to Mike Evans or Chris Godwin, but that's just not
– Or them. Tyler Johnson, who's on the come up, he's not there just yet.
No,
he's
not
Miller
yet.
Miller or Gronk. Oh, yeah, he's got a wealth of roaches in the receiving corps now.
Is this the most amount of talent he's ever had surrounding him?
It's up there. I'd still say 2007 with Randy Moss and Wes Welker, mm-hmm. and Falk. Okay, those guys definitely are in contention.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right, my man Dylan, I know you are an absolute elite EA Sports mind. So I was wondering if maybe for your headline today you got something in the way of esports or anything like that.
Yeah, esports have been on the up and up. Like they've kind of fluctuated over the mm-hmm. past few years, but you can tell they just keep on growing. But one of the biggest things in gaming news is the Bethesda-Microsoft buyout.
Okay.
Which just happened recently. I'll talk more about that in segment 4. Ooh, but
nice teaser there, man. Mm. Love that.
Yeah, keep listening, fellas.
I like it.
Mr. Ty on the board back there. First of all, thanks for running the board and being our production guy today. Everybody shout out to Ty back there. What's your headline for the day?
All right, so the UFC lightweight champion, Khabib Nurmagomedov, mm-hmm. the Eagle, has announced his retirement after successfully defending his title, finishing with a record of 29-0.
Wow.
Yep.
Is he the greatest of all time in his respective sport?
He's one of the best.
He's one of the best. He's definitely one of the GOATs. When you think about UFC, Khabib has definitely solidified himself as probably the best ground gamer in the history of UFC.
He's probably the best wrestling lightweight ever.
God, I mean, when he gets you on the ground, it's basically game over.
It absolutely was. Because at the end of round one, when he had Justin Gaethje, his challenger, mm-hmm. I mean, it was almost over in round one after he timed a leg kick. Wow. And it was over as soon as he got Gaethje to the ground in round two. Geez.
And that's what, you know, I'm not the biggest UFC guy. I'll be the first one to admit that. I think it's a cool sport and whatnot. But I just believe it's so talented to be able to wrangle another human being that's trying to fight you to the ground in the first in the first round to already, you know, have the judges feel one way about a decision. I mean, you have to be so incredibly talented craft.
Yeah, and not just talented, incredibly intelligent too. Khabib's, not only is Khabib a huge workout warrior, mm-hmm. he knows. He's very meticulous on the ground. He's very, very he knows exactly how to control someone. He knows so much.
He knows what he's doing. Yeah, he's got a game plan.
And you also got to consider the fact that he's not like he could probably, he could definitely beat any single person in this room, but he gets paid to beat other people.
I don't know, man. You're a pretty big beast over there.
I'm a pretty big beast. I'm
keep
pretty
going.
Flexible. He gets me a headlock, I did.
Yeah, just wiggle right out of it.
Yep. All right, so he could probably beat most of us in the room, but you just think about the fact that he gets paid to beat other people who train to become these monsters.
Not anymore.
And
yeah.
Not right, anymore. He kind of gave that up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, even in round one, he was putting a lot of pressure on standing up against Justin Gaethje, who's who's known for his striking.
Oh, yeah. And I think one other note that we got to add is this was his first fight after his father passed away. So,
oh, man.
This fight really
Michael
meant.
Michael Jordan level right there.
Yeah, for real. Like, level. Absolutely. This Michael fight meant everything to him. He was crying in the ring after the fight, man. I mean, it was.
You
it
love
was a
that raw
moment,
emotion.
Man. Yeah. You oh, yeah.
That.
Dude, you got to love it. Mm-hmm. How can you not, you know?
That, and that's why you love sports, and that's why I missed it so much throughout this pandemic for most of this year, was that passion and that real raw, gritty emotion that you get with victories and losses and stuff like that. My headline, guys, I found it interesting. I was going through NFL.com right here and saw that Dez Bryant has been signed to the Baltimore Ravens practice squad. Real quick, do you, KJ, you think he does anything special for Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram over there?
Absolutely. I think once he gets his legs under him and once he gets in the system, I think he's going to become the number one, well, not the number one, he's probably going to become the number two target. He's a big target, man. Yeah. And so just to have great somebody hands to offset Mark Andrews and Hollywood Brown is going to mm-hmm. be very, very important down the stretch.
I think you're right.
Exactly what they need.
Yep. This is the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Beyond Air Network. Join us right now. We are live. We got a couple beautiful things coming up over the break. We're talking Broncos, football, World Series, and some more EA Sports. Stay tuned.
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama,
what?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence,
really?
Flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama.
Uh-huh.
They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Hurry, young Popsy. We must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Popsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Hey, Colorado sports fans. You're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama,
what?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence,
really?
Flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day.
Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Llama.
Uh-huh.
They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Llama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Yes, sir. We're making the best of this cold weather today, rocking some throwbacks and hanging out with some good vibes and some good funky vibes here on the press box.
Our normal lead-in is awesome, but that I was just sitting here grooving.
Hey, man.
Wish we had cameras.
Here
so
we
people
go.
See some of the moves.
Little white man shoulder dance that I got going on back here. You know,
hey, the classic Peyton Manning.
Yeah, you already know. That's the MVP dance, baby.
Right,
gentlemen. You know, I just want to know if you're ready to rock some Broncos talk with me, or is it too soon?
Do we have to?
Well, you know.
What you think, KJ? Should we just X-nay this all together, or should we dive in?
It's a radio show in Denver. We have to talk. Okay.
All right, okay.
It's almost a given. The fact that we didn't touch on it in the first segment is probably a catastrophe in itself.
Oh, man, yeah, I'm probably going to be written up or whatever happens with that. I don't know how that goes. Mr. Dover, I'm sorry.
We're going
to
get
through. But gentlemen, you know, segment two. It's time to talk Broncos. It's time to dive into this atrocious football game that we won't be able to get this 3 hours back. Like KJ was saying on the break here, so we could start in a multitude of different places. I'll let you start it. Where do you want to start with breaking down this matchup?
You know what, man? Let's start with the fact that the offense did absolutely nothing to compliment how well the defense played. When you look at the way that the offense, outside of that first drive, there was nothing else really good going for the offense the entire game. I mean, there was no disrespect to Locke. Well, I'm sorry, I'll take that back. We still have Phillip Lindsay. But, I mean, I'm so ready to go in on Locke, because Locke has to understand that this game is predicated on taking what the defense gives you. And sometimes he wants to take the big play and make the big play so much that he forgets that there's something underneath. And there were so many times where Noah Fant was open underneath and Drew Lock just looking elsewhere. And I'm just like, what are you doing?
His awareness is
absolutely atrocious right now for an NFL quarterback. And I know this is only his second year, and that was only his third full game in this current offense. But sometimes, man, like – people make excuses for guys not playing the quarterback position the way it's supposed to be played, you know?
Yeah, and I was going to say, you know, one of the biggest things that we've learned about young quarterbacks is that they like to rely on their tight ends. And then you think about all the great quarterbacks, they generally have a tight end that they can rely on, right? Why in these situations that you're talking about with Noah Fant, why aren't you dropping it down to Noah Fant for 8 yards? You know, pick up something.
Yeah, I mean, it's an issue Drew Lock's always had. Like, he's always had trouble going through his progressions.
He's a one-read guy,
through.
Man.
Yeah, absolutely. He always locks onto his target, his first read.
Is that something that you think could be cultivated and he can turn that big mistake that he is of – I mean that in the sense of looking down his one target. Do you think he could expound on that and learn and become kind of a guy that hits all of his targets like Tom Brady? I mean, he'll complete a pass to, you know, 8, 9, 10 different guys in a game. Do you think Drew Lock could ever do that?
Absolutely, he could. But he needs time. He needs time to learn. Because this is, like, his sixth offensive coordinator in, like, 6 years, right?
Wait, no, that's the Broncos.
Yeah, the Broncos in general. But, yeah, Drew Lock is second already, right?
Yeah, I mean, Lock. I mean, even going back to college, I'm talking about. He's had, like, 4 different head coaches in 4 years.
So – on defense. So their defense.
He needs some consistency. He'll learn.
Yeah. We all need a little consistency in our life, but.
Right.
You I mean.
Find that balance and whatnot.
I don't know.
You know, this Drew Lock situation, it's kind of, you know, I'll take a quote from my dad. We're between a rock and a hard spot with Drew Lock, because the guy you can see has talent, right? We've all seen his talent on display.
Yeah, and he's a great kid too.
And he's young. And he has that moxie, you know, he's doing the white man shoulder dance, although he looks a little bit better doing it than me. But nonetheless, you know, he's got that moxie, everything that you want in that starting quarterback, that franchise quarterback. But when you play against your biggest rival, their biggest rival right now being the Kansas City Chiefs, Super Bowl champions, and then you just keep laying duds out every time you play them, it's got to be a cause for concern, right?
Yeah, it's a big mental thing with the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not necessarily it's not great, but it's not a terribly bad problem to have either, since the Chiefs are the best team in football right now.
Sure.
And the thing is, a lot of fans need to temper their expectations, too.
Yeah. Perspective is always good.
Because, let's face it, Broncos fans have been spoiled for a long time. They're pretty spoiled. But expecting them to just go out and compete every year, expecting them to compete after a good offseason, that's not happening. They're not on the Chiefs level. They're not on the I don't even think they're on the Raiders level right now.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm not a Broncos fan, but I'm not tampering my expectations, man. I'm used to winning, and these jokers are going to find a way to start winning. Well, yeah. I'm going to go up in there and start cleaning house my darn self, starting with that John Elway. How about that, man? Because this guy.
I agree. Elway needs to go. Like, it's because that's not just the expectation of the fans, the front office as well. Like, every time there's a good streak, every time they're onto something, they're expecting to win. And it's been like that for the past 5 years, ever since Peyton left. Like, we just need a quarterback. We can do any quarterback. This defense can handle it.
No, absolutely. Yeah, and so, let me ask you this.
Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch. Yeah. And Trevor Siemian the next year. And then it just
snowballed
down from there.
Mm-hmm. Todd, let me ask you this, man. Like, with no true ownership in charge right now, and you have a president / GM who kind of knows what he's doing, but then he also reminds you that he has no clue. Who is being held accountable from top to bottom here? That's the real question, because
nobody.
Well, there we go. I mean, that's the problem. If you're in an organization or you're working for a company or you're trying to start your own business and nobody's being held accountable, that thing will not flourish, because truth be told, there will be nothing that keeps this whole thing in line. And that's ultimately what you need. You need a centerpiece, and the centerpiece is usually the owner, because the owner can come down and say, man, hey, man, this load of crap over here, man, we can't have anymore.
This is not the product we want. Yep.
Right.
You know, one thing I was going to say, touching on that, is I think this is some of that red tape that you start getting into when you hire your hometown legend. Because when you hire your hometown legend, like what they've done with John Elway, he's taken over, well, then you're going to get those fans that love him so much and have such a deep passion for him that no matter what he does with his job, they're going to support him.
Rainbow-colored glasses.
Exactly. And so I think I think you're exactly right. I think there's a little bit of complacency happening with John Elway. I think he knows that he has the support of so many people, but that's going away, right? You know, over these last couple of years, I think you're seeing more and more people be like, okay, yeah, John was a great football player, but now he's just kind of trash, right?
But here's the thing. I don't think it's complacency, because that's just not who Elway is. He's always very competitive.
Sure.
I mean, and that's what I was talking about earlier. Like, when he believes that there's a chance, he will go in. He will expect to win it all, go to the playoffs and such.
Yeah.
Like, he'll always go in and expect to and play. It's the attitude of the reload, not the rebuild.
But okay, I see.
The fact of the matter is, the Broncos are a rebuilding team.
They are, but consistency and commitment go hand in hand. And the bottom line is, you have to pair the two. You can't keep separating the two. So get a coaching system, get a head coach, get a system in here that works, and let's ride it out, man. Like,
no, I'm all for that. What I'm saying is, the fans and the team need to be patient.
Yeah,
they can't keep shuffling things around.
But how much longer can you tell these people to be patient?
Until they can't do it anymore. Until they're canned.
I think
until the ownership situation is figured out.
So I feel where Ty is going, and KJ. So, like, I'm a little bit in the middle of the road with y'all, because I feel both of you on this. And I think one way that you could kind of help the fans and temper their expectations, or not even temper their expectations, just give them transparency, is by letting them know what your game plan is. You know, going into the draft this year, I know all the bigwigs in the Denver media, you know, they didn't know what they were going to do with the draft. And then all of a sudden they came out of the draft with two wide receivers in the top three picks. And it's like, okay, you know, maybe give your fans an idea of, okay, we're rebuilding now. Stick with us. In 2 years, we're going to have a great product for you, but between now and then. But they never said that, you know, and they've kind of kept this, oh yeah, we're contenders. And it's like, no, you're definitely a pretender at this point. You can't say that you're a contender when you're losing 43 to 19 to your you know, division opponent.
If right. you just keep telling people that everything's fine and everything's not fine, they're going to notice.
Oh, yeah, over you time.
Keep
yeah.
it up for long.
Yeah.
Got you. Yeah, no, this was just a tough game. And you know, in this country, this Broncos country here, we could delve even further into this topic and talk about it even further. But I just want to get y'all's predictions on what happens the rest of this year.
I think sitting at 2-4, the schedule does get easier from here. The only problem is season-ending injuries usually come the most on the back half of the season. So I think this is going to be a scenario where I don't see the Broncos getting in. This is going to be another one of those 6-10, 7-9 seasons that you're just like, gosh, man, I hate being in the middle yep. of the road.
Yep, I feel that. Okay, yeah. Ty, what you got?
It's not going to be a good year either, especially with Purcell out for the season again, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that sucks. Philip Lindsay's a joy to watch for sure.
Yeah, Mike Purcell and Phil Lindsay. But around too, but yeah, it's gonna be a wait and see year. That's the whole attitude I've been taking. It's a wait and see year. Let's wait and see how mm-hmm. things are. Let's see if Drew Lock can kind of play up. Let's see if let's see if the defense. Let's see how Vic Fangio will really develop
yeah.
as a coach.
Yeah, and I like the Fangio defense.
And it's
aspect.
gonna be rough. It's gonna be rough going. They're gonna be under 500 for
Dang.
Sure.
Dang. All right, well, we got some more interesting stuff coming up for segment 3 and 4. We're going to be talking World Series and some players who should be in the Hall of Fame but aren't. And then we're going to be talking some esports with my guy Dylan. Stay tuned for this. This is the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com, part of the Be On Air Network.
Young Papsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Papsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Yeah, we're still out here making the best of this cold weather day, rocking some knowledge, giving you the best of what we got here. I have my friends Dylan, Ty, and KJ all rocking out with me here.
It's actually Kevin, so.
Kevin! there's a glare in the screen that I'm looking at.
Oh, yeah, blame it on the glare.
Yeah, I got the
trainee on the bike right now.
Yep. Kevin's the GOAT trainee, actually, of all time. So
I wouldn't be so sure about GOAT, but okay.
Hey, you know what? When somebody gives you that kind of compliment, you got to run
with
it.
I'll take it. I'll take it,
man. I'll say he's so short, man.
Yeah, KJ will take it for you if you don't want it. gentlemen, I appreciate y'all rocking the good vibes with me today. This is what I'm about, and I love for the listeners to have a good time, like what we're doing here in the booth. So anyway, without further ado, let's get to my favorite sport and talk a little baseball.
Mine
action.
Too. I love baseball.
Mr. Kevin, I didn't know this about you. Now I know. Furthering your status as GOAT trainee. Okay, so baseball, we're down, you know, we're down to the nitty gritty. We're in the World Series. There's all but two there's only two teams left. Tampa Bay and the Dodgers. So Dodgers right now are up 3-2 in the series. Clayton Kershaw looked beautiful last night. Was that last night or two nights ago?
I think that was
Sunday night. Sunday.
I've been working overnight shifts, you guys. My days are all out of whack.
I work overnight too.
Getting off work right as I'm going in. I got 4 a.m. shift.
Oh, yeah. It's a different style of life.
I work 2 a.m. and 12, so yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm working 9 p.m. until 8 a.m. It's not very much fun, but hey, you got to pay the bills.
I get it.
Okay, right. So we got LA up 3-2. Okay, we've seen this before where LA's been up in this series, and we've seen Tampa Bay be that nitty gritty, never say die team and come back. So, gentlemen, who are we thinking tonight? Kevin, you want to take KJ, whoever wants to start first. I just want to know y'all's input.
I'll let KJ go first.
KJ,
all right,
do us
so
the honors.
I am going to take the Rays tonight.
Beautiful.
You know, either way I look at it, it pains me as a Yankees fan to pick either one
of
these
teams.
Sorry,
I just threw up a little bit.
Yankees.
No, proceed.
But I am going to take the Rays for the sake of, I mean, once you tie it up, man, it becomes a game of three series. Like, and I think it's kind of one of those situations where the Rays, they recognize they have a unique situation here. Usually when teams get to the World Series and they're not accustomed to being big free agent market teams, then you have to maximize what you have when you have it. Now, you have a good core, but I think Tampa Bay has to recognize that there are going to be other teams that are looking at your players, because next season will probably look a little closer to normal. Probably not the fans. I think the fans will probably be at a maximum, maybe 75% back next year by the end of the season.
So in Tampa Bay, that means we'll have what, 500-600 fans in the building?
Florida. Listen, what do you expect?
You know what? If there's any Tampa Bay fans listening, call 303-937-6548, the CMS listener line. I promise you can have your way with this guy.
He means it too. I'm open and ready. Let's go.
So, yeah, I got the Rays winning tonight. I think the Rays have a sense of urgency that they understand that it's either now or never, because there is a chance that it won't be like this again next season.
Yeah. And you know what? They've been building something special. Just to kind of piggyback off that, they've been building something special for a couple years now. You know, they have had to build from within and kind of go that opposite route of, say, the Yankees or the Dodgers, where
they're one of those teams from the underground.
Yep. And you can't ever count them out, because their heart is just absolutely huge. And that's the biggest thing when you're playing sports. I don't care what anybody says. You know, talent is great, all these things. You could be well coached, but at the end of the day, it's your heart and how bad you want that victory. And that's that. Generally, if you can get a whole team under that mindset, good things will happen. So I feel you, KJ.
That's why streaks are so important. It's all about the mindset
and momentum.
In.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
That's a good take. Mr. Kevin, who you got back there, you said?
I got Rays. I said Rays in five when I made my World Series prediction.
Okay.
And
Rays in five is bold.
Okay, that is bold.
That's a hot take. Is that a hot take board? I don't know. We got to get that.
I said Rays in five, and then I saw this. I was like, okay, Dodgers, they might get it. And then I'm like, it's going to be Rays in seven.
Okay. Rays in
seven. I mean, that comeback that they did, what was that, Saturday?
Was Saturday.
That comeback with the slide in.
That
was amazing.
Good.
I was able to watch that. I was just clocking into that work that overnight shift, and I saw Arozarena stumble around third. And I was like, oh, he's dead meat. And for him,
and
he
knocked the ball, and then it's like, oh, drop once.
It was a gong
dropped
show.
Again.
Yeah, and so big shout out to Kier Mayer for coming in on that error there, you know, because they was trying to get it to home plate there. And if the pitcher had just told him, dude, you know, I got your back right here, I think the Dodgers could have struck him out right there. But I just think the catcher, he panicked for no reason. And the guy was basically flying in from third, and he was like, well, this plate is wide open. Yep. So
you know what made me think, like, in that moment, I just kind of got Derek Jeter versus Oakland Athletic vibes. Ooh, like, I really thought somebody was going to come through real quick and just do some sort of crazy toss, and we were going to – but nonetheless, I mean, that play was almost just as exciting as Jeter's play. I mean, that thing – a Rosarena being able to come around and score after stumbling was super cool. I did want to touch on so Tony Gonsolin. What do you guys know about him so far? You guys like him? You think he's just a weird cat guy? Because he's like a cat. I don't know if you saw that special. I think it was Game 1 of the World Series. They talked about how he's a big cat fan for, like, I don't know, 20 minutes of the broadcast. Something I absolutely could have gone without. But
didn't know that.
Yeah.
The more you know, I guess. The more you know.
He looks, I'll be honest with you, and he can come fight me if he wants. He looks like he smells like cat piss.
He probably does. I'm not lying.
Just saying. He looks scraggly. I'm pretty sure I see cat hair on his jersey. He's got these weird yellow stains all over his jersey.
He plays for the Dodgers, right?
Are we just going to fight every single athlete across all?
You know, that sometimes the cold weather, you know, it just kind of brings that out in me. I apologize.
There's a couple of players that I'm just like, I want to pick a fight with him. Just like,
no, by all accounts, he's a good guy. I just, I'm not a Dodgers fan.
Thank you for listening to Who Would We Fight
on MileHigh.com.
Oh, boy.
We're starting our own UFC down here.
I'm telling you, it's been one heck of a show.
It's like, Fight Club.
Shots fired, clip emptied. All right. So we have two people going for Tampa Bay. You know, this makes for poor content, but I side with you guys. I really want Tampa Bay to win. I really think this has been a fun series, and I think a game seven would be.
And LA does not need this credit. Oh, well, we got the Lakers win. We got the Dodgers win. We're the best sports city.
So I feel you on that, Kevin.
Couldn't agree more with that.
And I feel you. You know, I'm a Minnesota guy. I always hate against, you know, the big wigs and whatnot. But the fact is, you know, I love Clayton Kershaw. I think he goes about his profession right. He stays out of trouble. He is a great pitcher. He's a great teammate. You know, I am kind of
I'm a Rockies fan, and that rubbed me the wrong way.
Hey, I feel you, but until the Rockies, you know, pump out a better product, they got nothing to complain about, you know, because Kershaw's just going to keep mowing them down, and he's been doing that for 12, 15 years now. I'm ready for his greatness to be cemented. If that means he has to get one championship, okay, so be it. But the dude deserves a championship. Go back and look at his stats throughout history. I mean, the dude has like a 2.37 career ERA. Just absolutely staggering. No, I don't want them to win this World Series, but it's better than the Yankees winning the World Series.
I can't agree there, but I can say that
which actually, KJ, let me ask you this. Do you think this new year, this new millennia, this new, like, you know, 2020, like 2029, the Yankees will win a World Series?
This decade,
thank you.
Yeah, with the amount of money that the Yankees spend unconsciously, I definitely think they are at least owed two World Series with that amount of money. I mean,
double down.
Truth be told, the only thing that's stopping the Yankees from winning is the fact they do not have any consistent pitching outside of Gerrit Cole and Tanaka.
Yep.
So they don't have a real closer, and they don't have a solid bullpen. If they can get that, then that's great. You know, I think they'll be en route to win a World Series. But in that same breath, we say that about a lot of teams.
Yeah, so there are a lot of teams that are just pitching away from the World Series.
Literally just pitching, or they're maybe just hitting. I'm like, all right, well,
everybody
you know.
Needs pitching nowadays. It's just I think a lot of it is getting hot at the right time, finding that momentum, finding that streak. I mean, and honestly, in that same breath, like what you just said, there's a give and take with that because Minnesota, right before the playoffs, they won five in a row. They were hot. And then all of a sudden they got Houston at home and got swept.
Same thing with the White Sox. I mean, the White Sox were on fire this season. And then they get to the playoffs.
They were one of my friend's picks to win, to at least go to the World Series.
Yeah. I had the Braves to get to the World Series out of the NL.
Oh, man.
So I had Marlins.
Me too.
Hey. Now, at the way that they were rolling, I can see why you picked them. Yeah. Okay.
I love that Braves bit, though. I was my girlfriend's from that area is a big Braves fan, and oh man, I was really hoping for them to pull off something sweet, but Unfortunately, here we are. We got the Dodgers in there. I mean, they've been in it for years. It's kind of like that LeBron conversation. You can't knock the Dodgers. They consistently get back to the championship. But yeah. Nonetheless, we got an interesting segment four coming up. My guy Dylan is here, and we're going to be talking about esports and just how that's changed the game. Thanks for rocking out with us today, everybody. This is the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Be On Air Network.
I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama, you know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing. Oh. See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Hurry, young Popsy. We must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Popsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Hey, Colorado sports fans. You're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Got my friends KJ and Dylan with me. We got Kevin and Ty in the back. We got the whole crew. We got C-Rod hanging out back here with us, dropping his knowledge on us. You guys, this is a great show today. I just want to say thank you to everybody involved for putting out the good vibes. And, you know, I might have to fight a person or two at the end of this show, but nonetheless, I'm glad that I could do it with you guys watching.
Oh, yeah.
So we
next
got a
podcast. Next radio segment is going to be...
Yep. Yeah, it's just going to be me getting my face beat in by Tony Gonsolin. And then some cat in the background going, meow, told you so. But no, this fourth segment is something that I'm looking forward to today. I'm a huge proponent or a huge believer in expanding your knowledge. And if you don't know something, you know, ask some questions about it. And today I was able to learn a little bit from talking to my guy, Mr. Dylan, on esports and EA Sports and kind of what's going on with the gaming world. So today we're going to bring you a little special segment here talking about that. And Dylan, First of all, thanks for being here today and contributing. But give us some of your insight on the esports world.
Esports was basically not even a thing 10 years ago. Like closest thing to esports was the little games you'd have on your Wii, like bowling and stuff like that. But not about 5 years ago, I want to say, is when it really started to get big, and it's fluctuated since then. But it's really starting to get more into the mainstream, especially like games like Overwatch, Fortnite. It's all.
Oh my God! That's the latest craze. You know, Fortnite for what, 2 years now has been such a big deal.
Yeah, 2 or 3 years. Yeah. It was back when I was like, I was still in high school. Wow.
I have no idea how old
I was.
You are,
a junior in high school when Fortnite
that
was popular.
That could be 5 years ago for all.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that could be 30 years ago. I have no idea. You never know. But you're absolutely right. I think it's taken off over the last 5-10 years in particular, and it's changed the way that we view and we become accustomed with these games and sports. What's your favorite game to play when you get a chance to sit down?
When I get a chance to sit down, that's a pretty big.
I know you're a busy man. That's why
I get
asked.
A chance to sit down. Yeah, I've always been a fan of first-person shooter games.
Okay.
Like first game I ever played was a Lego game, and unfortunately that's not real big in the competitive world.
Real quick, but what Lego game was it?
It was Lego Star Wars.
Yeah, that was my game.
There's got to be a niche out there for that still.
Yeah. if you're a big Lego Star Wars fan, go ahead and call 303-937-6548. We'll just spend the rest of
Let me just paint a picture of what's going to be happening here on the press box in the next 15 minutes. We're going to have my guy Dylan playing Lego Star Wars somewhere in the corner over here. Tony Gonsolin is going to be beating my face in with a cat over in the other
and
corner.
I'm just going to be over here ranting about how I want the Broncos to do something.
Do better, yes. Right.
Do better.
All right, well, we need to get a stream up and going for you guys so you can see this gong show happening. But no, keep going, Mr. Dylan, on where we're at with esports. Is this going to be the future of how we view things, or what's that looking like?
I think it's definitely going to get bigger. A lot. I've heard some people talk about how it's going to replace sports. I don't think that's going to happen. Okay. Like, I don't think it's going to. I think it's going to replace sports in the same way that.
I don't think that.
In the same way that, like, TV replaced radio, replaced books. Sure. Like, we still have all of those things. It's definitely going to change the dynamics of everything.
Okay, that's a good way to put it.
Sports are always normal, like football, soccer, UFC, all of that is. I think that's always going to be a thing, long as there's Americans who want to see it.
Oh yeah, you're dang right. And then, you know, Americans, and then expounding out to, you know, other countries and their football, their love for soccer, you know, and stuff like that.
Or as they call it, football.
Football.
And soccer does not exist.
Yeah. I sound like a total noob when I say that. You see what I did there with the noob with the video game thing?
Yeah.
We'll make a gamer out of you.
Yeah, man. Yes, we will. Yeah, I'm going to be having to eat my meals out of a straw after Tony Gonsolin beats my face in, so I'll have time to kind of sit down and play these video games. No, I appreciate you dropping some knowledge on that. Is there anything else that us as like kind of the everyday Joe who doesn't know too much about the gaming systems and whatnot, is there anything that you could give us so that we can understand that world a little bit better?
Biggest wars between PlayStation and Xbox. It's been going on for the past 2 decades.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's the PS1, PS2, PS3, 4, 5 is coming out soon. Xbox is all over the charts with its numbering system. So there's Xbox, Xbox 360, Xbox One, which is actually the third Xbox.
It's like they're becoming like Star Wars now. They're just naming them, renaming them.
Yeah, it's all over the place. And my friends and I, PlayStation is just so far ahead of Xbox in terms of exclusives. This is just unbiased opinion.
Sure.
Although PlayStation is better.
I plan on getting one. So yeah. my friend and I were planning to get one.
Well,
so
there you go. That's the thing. All my friends and I were planning on getting PlayStations next gen just because of the exclusives. Because it has like Spider-Man. It has God of War. It has all these great exclusives. And Xbox has Halo, and that's it.
Yeah.
But well, they got Minecraft too.
everyone has Minecraft. But The biggest thing is, have you heard about the Bethesda buyout?
You were telling me a little bit before the show. Could you just expound on it briefly?
So Bethesda is one of the biggest gaming companies. It makes like household names like Skyrim, Fallout, and Doom. It's taken
nice.
And thing is that these are like Colossus level games.
Okay.
Everyone knows about these games, and it's been unassociated. Well, Microsoft, the company behind Xbox, bought out Bethesda. And it's going to make all these massive games exclusive to Xbox.
Oh, so they're going to corner the market.
Yeah, with like several billion dollars, they just leveled the playing field.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so, that's super interesting. I really appreciate you giving us some of your knowledge on that. I know that you are an absolute wealth of knowledge when it comes to this stuff. So
yeah, I'm sort of a mega gamer.
You're a mega gamer. See, I'm such a noob, I don't even know... What does that even mean? Does that mean you play a lot of games at once, or
that means I'm one of the most skilled people on the planet?
Well, we already knew this. Whoa. We already knew this. That's not even a hot take.
All right, we're gonna add someone to the fight list. Whoever's currently voted top gamer, I'm gonna fight him.
Okay.
What you got, KJ?
So are you on Twitch?
No, I'm still looking to get a good mic.
Okay.
Like the kind of mics we have here would be awesome, but I work at Walmart, man.
No, I get that. Like, yep.
Good benefits, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, good benefits. benefits are not money.
Well, no, I really appreciate your knowledge on that. Like I said, I wanted to touch on one other topic. So I don't mean to cut you short, but I think you've given us all at least something to think about in this EA and this esports world that we live in now that is so prevalent and in our faces all the time.
Yeah.
So thanks for that, Dylan. I did want to get to one section or a segment that I'm really excited about. And I wanted to get y'all's opinion on a little basketball information real quick before we end our show today. I'm a big basketball guy. If you could start your franchise, you're starting a franchise, you could start it with any two players all time before, you know, past, present, whatever. Who would it be? Who would you guys choose? KJ, I'm going to start with you.
And I know it's crazy to think that you would start it with anybody else other than LeBron, but I am. I want to start my team with Hakeem Olajuwon and Kobe Bryant.
Hakeem the Dream. Oh my goodness.
Don't mess with that franchise,
oh
man.
Oh my Woo! Goodness. So would it be Hakeem or Hakeem?
Hakeem.
Okay, bet. Yeah. Nice.
And the reason I'm starting with those guys is because Hakeem started what big men do today as far as the stepping out with the jumper a little bit
running from one end to the other.
Yeah, and basically, you know, the post moves that we see today between all of the up and unders and all of the extra pump fakes and all of that kind of stuff, he definitely brought that into the game. Now, a lot of people say, well, no, it was Kevin McHale. Like, I'm not saying Kevin McHale didn't have a part in this as well, but Hakeem the Dream took it to a whole other level. Yeah, for sure. So I got to give him his credit on that. Plus, Hakeem Olajuwon was a beast on both sides of the ball. Like, that's something you don't see from a lot of centers nowadays. They kind of pick and choose which side they want to be great on.
Yeah. I think you see a lot of, Hakeem and Joel Embiid. You know, I'm not the biggest Joel Embiid guy, but you see it a little bit with him where he has those moves, and then he goes and plays on the defensive end too. He can step back a little bit. You know, the game's changed where Joel Embiid shoots threes and stuff like that. Hakeem didn't really shoot threes because that being a big man who could step back and shoot, that meant you were shooting from 19, 20 feet during his heyday. So I love that take, and I want your team to go against my team because my two would be Michael and Kevin Garnett. I think we got something going with those two. But who you got?
I'm gonna go a little, stick with the people. As much as I hate him, and as you know, KJ said this, I go Kobe Bryant.
Kobe's off the table because my man Kobe's already picked him.
All right.
Sorry.
Well, okay. I'll just go with my next one.
Okay.
Carmelo Anthony, but not Knicks.
Okay,
Denver Carmelo.
Okay, bet. All right.
And then you have to do one more.
Well, yeah, it's two.
It's two. Okay. All right.
I just want Kobe twice.
Yeah, please. Just give me five Kobes.
I'll go with this one.
Okay.
Tim Duncan.
Hey.
Of the Spurs.
You want to talk about a two-way player.
Oh, dude. Tim Duncan was an absolute monster. Like, as far as fundamentals are concerned, when you look at the word fundamentals in NBA, Tim Duncan sits right in the middle.
It's,
like,
yeah, his
he's
pitcher
holding up
is right
both
there.
Of the words,
pitcher's
like right. Fundamental NBA. Hey, I'm Tim Duncan. You know.
You know what? You know what? You just reminded me of that. They could do a cool thing. You know, Michael Jordan's poster where he's palming two balls, and it says, "What does it says? Say something like the wings of an angel or something like that." We could have Tim Duncan holding these two words together, NBA fundamentals. And I think that would be a great that would be a great poster. I don't know if you guys can envision that with me.
I can definitely see that. I definitely could feel that.
Okay, so real quick, who you know, we all threw out a couple of comparisons right there. Who do we think has the best team of those three?
I'm definitely taking my team.
You gotta take your team. Are you taking your team?
Yeah, I'll take my team.
Okay, you know, I'll take my team too. That was a great question, Ryan. such good content on here for you guys.
Let's ask this guy. He's a neutral.
You said that it could be any player.
Yes, please.
All right. So what if I like? Who you got? What if I took like half of your guys' players, combine them into one mega player?
Yeah, but
the other half, combine them into another.
But you're only the only thing there is I would expect that you could say their name, and you got to chop up their name, so it's half of half. So you know what I'm saying?
All right. Gotta write all these down.
We'll get back to that.
So hold on. Here's what we can do, Ty. You're a neutral guy here. So, Ty, whose team do you think is the best here?
So we got either Tim Duncan and Carmelo Anthony, Nuggets Mello, or we got MJ.
2009 Nuggets Mello.
Yep. And then we got Kevin Garnett and Michael Jordan, or we got Hakeem the Dream and Kobe Bryant. Ty from left field, struggling with this one.
Oh, man.
He's hopping back there on this mic. This mic's about to be hot.
That's really interesting. Who are your two?
Mine's KG, Kevin Garnett, and Michael Jordan.
Oh, man.
Nobody picked LeBron. KG's. Hey, I did not pay him before the show. I promise you that.
Yeah, the payment comes after.
The payment comes after. Exactly. You guys know all my secrets. Well, I just want to say, you know, it's been fun rocking out with you guys today. Let me just show out some love to you guys. We got Ty back there. We got Kevin running the board with him. Dylan, KJ, you guys, where can we find you guys online just so we can get to know you better that way too? Let's start with the board op back there, Kevin.
You can find me out on Twitter, Combat, capital C, Kev, capital K, EV, 77. Or you can hit me up on Instagram, Combat Film Center.
Beautiful. Mr. Dylan, you have any social medias or anything?
Look me up on Anchor FM, Knights of Sealand podcast. Where
okay.
I have no episodes yet.
Well,
that's very. I might have episodes at some point, depending on when I get a mic.
All right, there
but
you
when
go.
It
so
happens,
stay tuned.
It's going to be good.
There we go with
there
that teaser
go.
Again.
There
KJ, where
I
can
like
we
it.
Find you, buddy?
You can find me on Twitter at KJTheGo. So there's KJ, then T-H-E, and then GOAT with three T's. And then you can find me on Instagram at K_Granderson_sports.
Beautiful. And I was going to say one little caveat for my guy KJ here. I just know him a little bit better than the rest of these guys here, and I know that KJ's basketball mind is absolutely elite. Not to take anything away from anybody else, but I know for a fact I follow KJ on Twitter, and there's some good basketball takes on there. Any basketball fan listening today, I suggest that you check him out. Any EA Sports fans, you know, or just esports and whatnot, gaming world, stay tuned for my guy Dylan's podcast. Ty, is there anywhere that we could find you? Ty's coming to the mic.
In fact, there is. I'm on Twitter at Fuji_Ty. All lowercase, that is FUJII_TY.
Hey, I like it.
T-Y. I love that.
Like it.
Gentlemen, you guys have been an absolute pleasure to work with today. I just want to say thank you very much for rocking out with me. We're a whole bunch of fools coming together, having a good time. And, you know, I think we did that today. I think we put out some good vibes. Hopefully the people listening today enjoyed listening to us and whatnot. If you guys want to find us, go to gomilehigh.com. You can always call in at 303-937-6548. Or on Twitter at Go Mile High, or Go Mile High on Facebook. But nonetheless, I have been your host, Ryan Youngstrand, today, rocking out with my friends, a whole bunch of scrubs here down in Lakewood, Colorado. But we're having a good time, so it doesn't matter. But Tony Gonsolin is waiting for me outside the door, so I have to go. That is it today.
I can hear the cats meowing now.
That is it for the day. This is the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Beyond Air Network. All thanks, right, folks.